everyone, and welcome to episode 33 of the Capes and Commentaries podcast. I'm Tyler Baker, and with me as always, Nasty Nate Kennedy.
Hello.
Nathan.
Hello.
We doing all right today?
Yeah, doing all right. I woke up maybe an hour ago. Had my alarm set for 11:30, and I'd say roughly about 7 minutes before I was like popped up, I was like, there's shows to do. So I got some laundry going, hopped in the shower, hence the hair still being wet. And I'm ready to talk some Mask, because I honestly don't remember the show that much at all. But it is a cool concept. It's like, oh, let's just take G.I. Joe and Transformers and kind of just do that with it. But it works. It's good.
Yeah.
I like it. It's enjoyable.
This is the first time I've ever watched an entire episode of Mask. I have yet to... I've seen clips of it over the years, but I've never watched one episode from beginning to the end. And I had some of the toys as a kid. I had a coloring book as a kid. So I had an idea of like who was who and things like that, but I just the cartoon just wasn't made available, at least where we lived.
So this is a first for the show.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in uncharted territory. We're talking about something that neither one of us remembers, and this was per request. I can't remember who exactly requested Mask. I think it's been anytime.
It's been a while.
Yeah, we reach out to people. Like Mask has come up multiple times.
Has it? I thought it was just the one time.
No. It's any time that we're like, hey, what do you want us to do? What do you guys want us to talk about? Mask is always repeatedly. Okay. That's why it's doing that. Repeatedly brought up. Sorry. I'm kind of pulling up some info on it as we're speaking. I probably should have had this done before we started the show. But 85, 86. Is when this came out. So definitely, I feel like someone was sitting in a boardroom and like, G.I. Joe is successful. Transformers is successful. What can we do? And they're like, well, why not kind of combine elements of both?
It's kind of surprising that's a property, too, that hasn't been, revisited. I mean, honestly, too, like, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's kind of just been ignored from the 80s that felt like it hasn't been revisited. You know, we've gotten G.I. Joe, Transformers, He-Man, Thundercats, and Turtles, but, there's still so many other properties that have just been ignored. And I've never quite understood why, whoever does have the rights currently, because I know that stuff is all over the place, but why no one's really been interested in revisiting something like that.
Because when you think about it, Mask kind of has it, compared to G.I. Joe and Transformers. I'm sorry I keep bringing those two properties up again, but those were like your top of the line mainstays. Like Mask is probably down there below with sort of your GoBots and just those properties that were successful but not enough to where now they want to dig it up. And
there's always a fan falling with all this. There's a fan falling for Silverhawks, there's one for GoBots, and I hate how people like to piss all over GoBots. Like it's just like if they bring it up, we have to make sure that they're like the Kmart version of Transformers. Like, shut up, man. You got those and Brave Star and Matt. I feel like Mask has got a pretty strong following in terms of fans our age, who still appreciate that. Captain Power and stuff like that. So I just kind of wonder why a lot of this stuff's just kind of left, off to the side.
Don't worry. Ignored. When they get desperate, they'll dig up all of these properties and they'll hit us with everything and it won't be any good. And
They were like, oh, why did you bother? Why did you bother?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know why you even mentioned that.
I guess it's just that.
Don't summon those evil forces, man.
Yeah, what was I thinking?
I don't know, man.
But you know what? I guess it's fun to fantasize. But you know what? In hindsight, all this stuff's just better to be left back in the past where it belongs, where it was preserved, and just untouched by these jerk offs today who just don't have a single clever idea in their head, and they come along and just we got to anime up. We got to make it all Fast and Furious, man. Yeah, which if they were to relaunch Mask today, you can bet your ass, man, the whole like a live action Mask film would be all about we got to make it Fast and Furious, man, with street racing and guns and stuff, and God, they make sure they throw Vin Diesel in or some nonsense like that.
All right, well, I'm all for it. Sign me up. I'm in.
Oh, that's where I forgot you like those films.
I've come around to them, yes.
Yes, and I...
anything prior to Fast Five, no. Fast Five onward, yes. Because they took the... I'll say it again. They took most of the street racing shit out of there. Like, yeah, it kind of gets shoved in sometimes, just but very, very little bit. Now it's just kind of like... just straight up action movies. They're fun. I enjoy them.
No, I'm glad you enjoy them.
And Kurt Russell's in the series now. So.
Which I was scared to death when I heard, oh man, Kurt, things can't be that bad, man. Come on.
Nah.
I'll cast you in a movie or something.
He's doing fine. Getting good paychecks from those fast.
Oh, I know probably. He is. And, you know, Kurt's, you know, I just, you know, would like to see him in more movies that I want to see.
Since we aren't as surprisingly, Tyler is not well versed in this. Fedmont says that Hasbro owns the rights and have made it part of Transformers G.I. Joe multiverse. GoBots are also a part of that.
I know they had done like when they did like the 25th anniversary G.I. Joe line, they put Matt Tracker on there, which I own because I thought that was a really cool, like, hey, to combine them. So, yeah, I'm thanks for clarifying that because the mask is just. I appreciate it. I think it's a cool line. It's just never something I've ever actually done a lot of research on, period. I just, not by, you know, like, oh, don't care. Just never really thought that much about it. So.
All right. Well, I guess with, we won't go too much further in our discussion. We'll just jump right on into the episode. Link is down below. So we'll give you guys a couple of minutes if you want to click on that and get set up just in case there are ads on the video. Man, I'm kind of spoiled with on my actual main personal YouTube account having the premium on there and never having to worry about the ads, and then hopping over to the Beyond Retro one and opening up something and it, like, I have to wait for the ads or skip the ad or whatever. I was like, man, like,
yeah, I'm spoiled too by not having ads because I only have the, I got it on everything else but like one of my old devices, like, oh, I forgot I got ads on this, I have to sit there, yeah. And things like that.
So I don't want to shill it to anyone too much, but $10 a month, you're like, ah, what? But you don't get ads, and then
you get Cobra Kai,
and season 2 should be coming out
sometime
2019, late
spring, early summer.
Yeah. And I would say its release window is probably going to be very similar to what it was when it premiered.
Yeah,
but yeah. For me, that's been worth it alone. It's just not having to worry about the ads anymore. It's nice. So
yeah, I don't intend on getting rid of it.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, that was the thing when we did that. We were both like, yeah, we'll do the trial, watch Cobra Kai, and that was it. And then I just got used to just not having the ads. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty nice.
Yeah. Not having to sit through it, you know, the ridiculously stupid Geico commercial just so I can watch.
I knew you were going to do that. I knew that. I haven't seen a Geico commercial on the ads in a long time.
Yeah, they're still there. But a few times I've had to see them. Like, it's not funny. It's not cute.
Oh, you love it.
I'm not buying your insurance.
You love
all
it.
All right.
Anyway, let me make sure I got mine pulled up here. And yeah, man, you go ahead and give us the countdown and we'll get going.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play.
I'm going to say this now. I really like this theme song a lot.
It's really catchy. I mean, it's definitely one. I mean, the lyrics, the music itself. You know, especially my favorite part is the my mask, kind of like in the, like the Transformers like intro theme voice. That's my favorite. And I like T-Bob here, I like him. I know people like to piss all over the site. Well, the kid's a bit moronic, but I like T-Bob. But it is a very catchy thing. I won't say it's better than like Thundercats and Cops. In terms of like,
I don't know, man.
Energy boosting, but it is very catchy to where you find yourself singing it, though.
You don't think then it's you wouldn't sing it?
No. I'm saying it is catchy. Like I found myself like kind of like humming to myself like this morning. So I'm saying it's catchy enough to where you would find yourself singing it.
I think it's better than Thundercats, honestly.
Oh no. Absolutely not. No, it's definitely not better than Thundercats, Silverhawks, and Cops, that's for sure. But but it is a fantastic intro. I mean, it really is. Now, when you're watching this, like, are you, you ha- like, what were you familiar with heading into this? Like when you're watching this, is like Matt Tracker and the Mask Group, Venom with Miles Mayhem. Like, are you like any? I mean, nothing. Just
nothing. Honestly, nothing. The only thing that really comes to mind is just seeing that visual of like the logo and the vehicles. That's really all I remember.
Because the few toys that I had, I mean, that was like the name Mask too, like because all the characters wear masks in their various vehicles. I was always big on action figures that had masks. Aside from the vehicles transforming, but I just thought the little mask that the figures came with was so cool. Just like any G.I. Joe character that came with a helmet or a mask to put on, I just thought it was like a little extra bonus to your like the play play value of your action figures that they came with something like that. So, and I hate for listeners who are very familiar with the show, like I can't tell you who this member of Venom is. I just know Miles Mayhem is the only name I can tell you.
Woo! Tyler's gonna be pissed when we're done with this. Like, man, I didn't know anything.
Nah, I just like, you know, I know when we said we're gonna do masks, like I don't know. I only know Matt Tracker and T-Bob, and of course, you know, a couple of the heroes, but I just don't know that much about it. You know,
well, I think it's cool in regard, like we can just give, I guess you would say, second impressions because we both watched this before recording.
Yeah,
but I think the animation's really well done.
Oh, it looks great, especially all the action sequences here.
And the sped up version of the theme right here sounds really good.
Yeah, which gets used, you know, periodically throughout the show, and I mean, I think it's important too, and I love the motorcycle there that the Venom's driving there. I can't remember the guy's name because I want to say I thought Chris Latta plays his voice later on in the show. I thought I may be wrong on that one, but I like how all the attention is really put into these action sequences because it is about letting the kids know like what toys are available. So you want to make these sequences look as badass as they possibly can.
Yeah. I like this. It's like no one can survive that crash. And it transitions to her waking up, and it's like, "Well, we found you unconscious." And
which, even when I watched it, man, that's like for a woman driving a Jeep and just crack like flies off a cliff like that, and it's like, how that? Is, yeah, it's. I would assume the same thing.
And I think he's got a badass name too. That's a cool name.
Yeah, Matt Tracker. Yeah, that's a very cool name. That's an 80s action hero name for sure.
The agent on the motorcycle is Sly Rax. Cliff Dagger is in the SUV. And Miles Mayhem's the helicopter stealth bomber.
Okay. So, there you go. Say the other two again, then.
Sly Rax.
Sly and is the one in the motorcycle?
Yes, and then okay. Cliff Dagger was in the SUV.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I apologize to any listeners for that. Yeah, I, like I said, I always remember T-Bob because I thought he was so cool looking.
I mean that's a definitely something I would see the kids being like, oh man, I want one of those.
Yeah,
I think that would be like shit. That would be a cool thing to do now is to actually kind of have a life-size version of that does turn into like a little motorized vehicle.
Yeah,
that'd be badass.
Yeah, it would. I mean, I could even see like, you know, various kids riding around like, you know, hey, I got a T-Bob for Christmas.
Yeah, it's like kind that. Of, you know, I maybe if this had taken off a bit better because the battery powered vehicles were all the rage back then.
Yeah, to have made like a Power Wheel that was, you know, that looked like a rideable T-Bob. Boy, yeah. Boy, how tremendous would that have been?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't go very fast, of course. You don't want like youngsters riding on you. That was like 80 miles an hour. I like Condor here. I think of this current roster of the heroes. Like I like the. You
know, the I like how cycle. He's just there at his concert. Like, well, gotta go.
Yeah, all of them are. And some of them just live, you know, live ordinary day to day jobs. Like, looks like God, what's his name here? It looks like he was a toy maker. It's not Sato. I can't remember.
Here, take this snake.
Just a little gag there.
Yeah.
And I was trying to remember, like, the vehicles I had, too. Like, I had Matt Tracker's, Grand Prix race car, which is pretty cool. And then I had a semi tractor trailer, the cab that came with an Indian with a really cool, like, mask on. I can't remember. It was a Native American character. I just thought it was really, really cool. Yeah. But I cannot remember what the name of that truck was, because obviously they have the Rhino in this. And the Boulder Hill playset, which I've never seen in person, but I like the gas station that flips into a battle station. Like I've seen pictures of it. I thought, man, that would be so cool to play with. Did you have any of the Mass toys as a kid? Like a single one?
Yeah, not that I can recall. There may have been a possibility that I had some of them and just either knew it at the time but didn't think much of it. I'm not entirely sure.
Now, what about Matt's son here? You know, because I know I've you know, you see those kind of lists made over the years, which really don't mean anything. But Matt's son and T-Bob have been kind of lumped in as like the obnoxious, like sidekick kid characters of the show.
I mean, that's understandable. I don't have too much of a problem with him in this. I think there is one part that sort of cracked me up when all of this is starting to formulate.
I did laugh when he gets thrown out of the back of the truck bed.
Yeah,
T-Bob's still left in there.
I think it may have been a missed opportunity here for him to have not just always had his mask on. To see him just without it and to see his face, he doesn't seem as menacing.
I want to say I thought I had seen some other like merchandise where Miles Mayhem was portrayed. He just looked a lot more. Maybe it was the coloring book. Maybe it was my first impressions of the character, because he does like I like when Miles is wearing his helmet. Like he looks badass. Like, and honestly, yeah, I agree. I think a lot of the villains should be seen only with the masks on. But then again, too, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose of or like you had to buy the figure to see what they really look like underneath it, or something like that. But yeah, I think Miles would look a lot more menacing if he just kept the helmet on.
And I think this part of it's badass, where they're all just sitting here at the round table, and then this is neat. I like the music that's accompanying it. It's cool. Granted, we don't get too much of like a backstory on how this all came to be in this pilot episode, which I guess you could take as being a positive and a negative in regards to you do kind of want to know more, but it's nice that they just jump right on into the action.
Now, I you know, being this is the first time I've watched this, though, like when you're seeing this whole production of like the helmets being like dropped down from the ceiling and given to each mask member, it kind of almost looks like a power-up segment. However, the masks are just worn when they go into battle, and they have a few, you know, powers, like, you know, with the I have to bring up the character list here, but one of them here uses like, you know, like uses like visor on his goggle to pick up one of the Venom members there. God, I feel like I hate that I just am not name dropping like I normally do on this cartoon. I feel like
not that familiar with it either.
Yeah.
Should have done better research.
I know. Usually, I should have.
Now, see, like right there with the helmet on.
Yeah, I thought he looked, you know, all right without the mask, but I definitely was more impartial to seeing Miles Mayhem with that mask on. I really was. Because when you see him, you know, and most 80s villains, you know, they're quite menacing looking, and overall, you get kind of a paunchy, like, military leader, as like right there. He kind of has like a Cobra Commander vibe to him. And I like his helicopter, too. It's pretty badass.
No, that's what I like about all these vehicles, is how they transform from one thing to another.
Yeah. Condor's bike here. I like the purple and yellow color scheme. It's interesting with the green bike taking off like that. And Matt Tracker's got an awesome outfit, too. Like, the G.I. Joe figure I got of him is so badass, because he has, like, this propeller backpack. You know, G.I. Joe size, like, man, I was like, I have no idea if they released any more mask figures into the G.I. Joe line, but boy, I would hope they did.
Drop a little bit more. Fedmon says the secret identity crap was in season one and dropped in season two. All their media, both sides, knew who each other were. The backstory was handled in season two during the racing series. Bruce Soto and Lifter, he's the driver of Rhino, the big semi truck.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Fedmon, for giving us some assistance on this episode.
Yeah, not ashamed to admit that we will need it for some episodes here because we want to honor everybody's wishes.
And it was Fedmon that requested that we do this.
So. Okay, thank you. Sorry about that, bud.
Oh no. So yeah, you can. It kind of makes you wonder, I guess, why the kid is in here. I guess it's to make it relatable. As you're watching it,
you know,
but same time too, like we've said it before, I never really,
I didn't want to be the kid. I wanted to be the heroes in this show. I'm like, and that's all, that was always the mindset in a lot of animation. That maybe it still is to this day where the people who write these shows feel like we have to have someone for the kid to relate to, as opposed to we want the kids to buy the action figures of the heroes and villains. We don't want them to feel like that. We wanted to, you know, it just, I just kind of feel like in this decade of animation, I couldn't imagine any child, boy or female, male or female, excuse me, who watches these cartoons. And like, if the girls are watching Jim, do they want, you know, Jim's little, you know, quirky sidekick? And because they find that relevant? No, they would want to be Jim, you know. And same thing with all these. Like, I didn't want to be Orko. I wanted to be He-Man, you know. It's like, even though I liked Orko a lot, but. The whole presence of children in animation, it's like the logic. I'm not opposed to it, but the logic behind it just, you know, like you guys clearly don't know your audience that well. At least that's what I always thought. But, and he's not that obnoxious, but
as the show goes on, he might be, but just based off of this alone, he's not that bad.
Yeah. I mean, because kids, even in movies, they can be the make or break point, you know. And it's unfortunate, you know, because we know that there have been many great child actors, even starting with the Little Rascals. You know, it's like, what happened in the mix here when you got, you know, kids in films and kids in animation that just destroy the entire show? Or the minute you see them, you're like, oh man, give me a brick, throw it through the TV. But he definitely has a classic 80s hairdo.
Yeah,
with like that kind of like long hair that kind of curls.
Oh, yeah, it's sort of like a baby mullet.
Yeah.
I think we all fell victim to that back in that day.
I had a full-fledged mullet back
then. Did you? Oh, man, yeah, I need to see pictures of that.
Yeah, there are a few pictures, but yeah, I got a blonde mullet.
Yeah, it's still time, man. Bring it back.
Oh, God.
Oh,
shoot, remember that one guy we saw at Cornette? The guy with, like, the humongous, like, gray mullet?
Oh, yeah.
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 Based off Cornette.
Yeah. God, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get away from these bucktooth motherfuckers.
And that's an exact quote when people listen. This is something that Jim Cornette said to both me and Nathan.
Yeah, he's like, I'll be back, guys. And then we ended up hanging out with him at his table for a while
while he had lunch.
Yeah, we ate lunch with Jim Cornette. Yeah. Of course, he had Wendy's, of course.
Yep, he did have Wendy's and
double cheese,
double mayo. Horsey sauce. The garlic. She smells garlic. We gotta go.
No, this is the part that made me laugh. He doesn't know how to fly anything. The thing's just bouncing around everywhere. I'm like surprised it didn't blow up.
Yeah, pretty much. Which, considering he's a kid who didn't have much experience with this stuff, I think he did all right.
But I can definitely see how he annoyed the piss out of everybody.
Yeah, because he's just doing a lot of moronic things in a show where, you know, if I'd watched this as a kid, I would have liked T-Bob, but I would have, you know, Matt's son wouldn't have done anything for me. I'd have been like, can we get back to the action? You know.
Yeah.
That's just how I would have felt about it, because, you know, we just. Maybe I was just one. I mean, did you find any kid characters in cartoons relatable or enjoyable?
No. I was always with, I would like you, the main hero or maybe like the sort of second in command. I always related more to those guys. But Febmon did say that Mask also launched in a new comic in 2016 by IDW. They're a secret sub-faction of G.I. Joe, and Venom is a silent business partner with Cobra.
That sounds pretty badass.
Yeah, no, it does. And that's the thing. Like, why not do that? Let's do a new G.I. Joe film, but actually, like, make it more like we remember, and then kind of give us, like, throw Mask in there with them. Like, that'd be badass, but...
That would be a... I'd say, if this day and age, like, a G.I. Joe movie, you need to be set in the 80s. I just think, like, I don't want to see, like, a modern day where they're using...
And that's, yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, don't make it modern day. Like, put it back in the 80s.
Yeah, put it back in the 80s. Throw seeds in of Mask. You can make references to Transformers if you want to, or something like that.
Well, I mean, that's what Bumblebee has done, right? Like, doesn't that movie take place in the 80s?
Hell, I don't know.
We have yet to go see that.
No, and I still am curious to go see it. Not holding my breath, but me and Nathan both want to go see it, just hoping to God that the G1 stuff will look great and John Cena won't be coming in there just saying, "You can't see me, Bumblebee."
He's not going to do that. They wouldn't have put that in the script.
You never know.
Yeah. Doom, 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 doom.
But yeah, I think a lot of the stuff would be served justice if it was taking place in the 80s, though. Like, it takes away the idea that you can't use, like, modern day terminology and, you know, social media references and cell phones and stuff like that. You use your 80s jargon and music and technology, you know.
Music and technology.
Yeah, absolutely. They go hand in hand. Hell, even if it had, like, the Kung Fury, Black Dynamite, the way it's shot, like, the way it looks, like it's old or something like that. You know, like an old VHS tape.
Make it a grindhouse film.
Yeah, yeah. I remember because someone put together, like, a mock poster of G.I. Joe if it was made in the 80s, and he had Dolph Lundgren as Duke, and what's her name from Ninja 3, The Domination, as Jinx. I just thought that just looked really cool. They could have, like, Sylvester Stallone as, like, Flint.
Yeah.
That'd have been badass, because he looks awesome with the beret on, man, from Demolition Man.
Febmon says in the comic the mask and car technology was reverse engineered from Transformers tech, so
I think that's a pretty cool way of combining them all like that,
right? Yeah, but if they try to do a feature film, they just fuck it up.
Yeah, we got to get the pond humor in there for the kids.
Here we go. So I don't have the last piece.
I failed.
Wait, no, you didn't. Looking for this?
Yeah, they always manage to make sure the kids, like, you know, come in the end, that they're not just, you know, tree stumps running around on the show.
I mean, to be fair, most of this was his fault, as he said, so... It's good that he kind of made up for it, and also kind of cool how this thing just shines and boom, like he's all well and good now.
Yeah, I kind of got the vibe that when Miles was working on it, that the meteor itself, like, can create life but also take it away as well.
Well, yeah, like we saw that when he splits it, like it immediately just disintegrates and melts the plants.
Yeah.
And I like how at the end of this as well, they throw in a PSA like G.I. Joe and He-Man would do.
Yeah, it's a very short one. Like I kind of felt like they spent more time trying to animate just the playing ball. And by the way, look both ways. Edit or like cut, you know, just abruptly stops. It's kind of an odd PSA. Kind of felt like it was like cut short with the message. Like the T-Bot figure is pretty cool too. Like they did, I mean, like because that's something I have seen. Because there's a two pack of these guys. Because I want to say I think some of the figures may have came by themselves. Hell, I don't know. I don't want to try and make any kind of assumptions when I don't have the facts.
Man, I should just show this to the people at work because they, as I'm like driving down, they don't even fucking pay attention. They just start walking out and I just stop and then they just like look at me like I startled them or something. I'm like, you need to fucking look where you're going.
I need to show this all the students at Virginia Tech, you know, because they got their heads buried in their cell phones and can't seem to pay attention to the giant red truck coming their way. Yeah, I can see Nathan jamming this.
It's a good jam. It's up there, man.
And Shuki Levy, the guy who did He-Man and various other X-Men and various other cartoons, cops and things like that, is responsible for the theme music there. How about that?
It's a good-ass theme song.
It is. It's very good.
I really like it. That would be a theme song that I could actually just put on a CD, because, yes, I still do that sometimes, make CDs to put in the car. I would put that on a CD and listen to it. Deke!
There you go, man. Deke responsible for a lot, like real Ghostbusters and Cops, Inspector Gadget.
There we go.
That was our first dabble into math, so hopefully our lack of knowledge for this one wasn't too headache-inducing for everybody, that we still made it somewhat enjoyable for the mask fans out there.
And once again, props to Fedmon for helping us out.
Yes, thank you very much for that.
We kind of gave us, kind of helped us with the flow of that. So appreciate that. I think that's cool. They need to find a way to bring that to live, even though they'll fuck it up. But find a way to bring it to live action to where they can combine everything. That would be neat.
Universe builder though. Like I'm not it's a fun idea. Unfortunately, Marvel's just gone off the deep end with it. DC can't even get it right to begin with. But I'm not opposed to doing like a, you know, films, but make sure, put all your focus into one film, make it the best. And if it's successful, then start planting seeds or plant seeds in it. But just make sure your focus is getting that first film off the ground and it's the best you can offer. And stop trying to worry about, we got to use this film to set up the next 3, 4, 5 films. And, you know, make it as if like this is the only attempt you're going to have at a G.I. Joe mask film. If it's successful, you can take those seeds and really take off with it. I mean, I think a successful a good G.I. Joe movie would be successful. I don't see how it couldn't be. Same thing with Mask.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe by the time these things get off the ground, the bubble is going to be about ready to burst. I genuinely feel like we're encroaching on that time.
I look at, you know, what Marvel has lined up in the next few years, like they're, I mean, even though Guardians of the Galaxy took off, but it's not the actual original Guardians of the Galaxy. Like the title characters they got coming up, like I don't know if people are really going to take to some of these characters they have lined up. Like they're very, very like C, D list characters. So
Fedmon says the live movie for Mask is planned to be a part of a multiverse series with G.I. Joe, Transformers, Visionaries, Action Man, Micronauts, and Rom the Space Knight. They're working on getting that together now.
I've heard about stuff like that, but it's been a long time since I've heard any reference to
I look at it at this point, it's sort of like the He-Man movie. Until something becomes more concrete or the filming has started or a trailer is about to drop, surprisingly, then...
Yeah. Other than like the G.I. Joe movie they have announced for like next year with Snake Eyes, you know, believe me, they're not doing anything. I think Paramount's just acquired all these rights to all these toy properties. And
just because Disney's been sucking up the rest of it. Yeah.
So they're just going to gasp back and say, well, we're going to do this. Like, no, you're not. You're not doing anything because you can't get anything right. So,
Well, I mean, it looks like there's going to be a big shakeup in the toy aspect of it, too, because I know that most of the DC toy rights, Mattel no longer has. That's going to another company that the name of it escapes me at the second, but it's...
Really? I wasn't aware of that.
Let's see. Gotta pull up the article.
Is this recent news?
Yes. Deal ends in 2020. Mattel will no longer have the license for boys action toys, remote control vehicles, water toys, or games and puzzles. It'll go over to Spin Master, who will be taking over in all those categories. So I think DC still, or Mattel still owns the rights to do, let's see. Mattel will hold on to its toy lines aimed at young girls such as DC Superhero Girls, but DC comic fans will once again be left wondering if there will be anything worthwhile available at retail for the more mature collector. And this, So there's going to be a lot of stuff, because I know that the rights for Star Wars and everything's coming up. Maybe Mattel makes a power play for those. Who knows? So that's going to be kind of weird. How's the toy aisle going to look at 3 years from now? And will it start to shift? Because we've said this countless times. I genuinely feel like the toy market needs to shift to the adult collector, because we are the ones that are still buy it and cling to it and want like the really cool shit. Kids don't really care so much about toys these days.
Well, the vast majority they don't. I mean, yeah. they do buy a few things and here and there, and then there's like this trendy like Minecraft stuff you see on the shelf, which I still to this day don't know what the hell those things. What do you do with those things? But I know I'm old man River here. But it might be better that a lot of this stuff gets switched up.
Yeah.
So that way, maybe there's some hungry distributors out there, like, you know what, let's do something that we know fans really want to do, instead of being these people who just want to ignore the fans. And we're going to release more and more variants of, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin, you know, for $20-$30 a piece in the same line, you know, over and over and over again. By the way, here's another variation of Optimus Prime, another crazy goofy ass form here. And instead of giving fans, you know, original characters and things like that. So I mean Mattel's notorious for that. But
well, Mattel is. Hasbro's a little bit better about it. They've treated Transformers and G.I. Joe with a little more respect than Mattel has with the properties that they
have. Yeah, Mattel's really big on those variants, man. Good grief. I mean, every company's guilty of it. I often felt like Mattel's really bad about that. In general. So yeah, maybe it would be beneficial if things really do get shaken up and they stop releasing these cheap, you know, DC action figures lines that just look like they're knockoff figures, as opposed to like good quality action figures for kids or something like that. Like when we were at Walmart the other day and saw like that kind of very generic looking like Batman line where it just looked lazy and cheap.
Like even the card was just
cheap. Yeah, it just looks lazy, you know. It's like, how are you going to grab a kid's attention when you're just you're being as lazy as possible? You know, if kids are fascinated by things they look at, why is it toy packaging of a thing of the past now? So yeah, I'd be very curious to see what happens in the future of DC toys.
Yeah, NECA Funko, just take them all over. Give us the good shit.
Yeah, they're not afraid to try stuff.
Yeah, they're really not. I mean,
NECA does a lot of variants over and over again, but every so often they give us something like, okay, I got to have that.
And then Funko, thinking outside the box, here we're going to do like a Primal Age Batman. Here's a Batcave and all these figures. Like, more of that stuff.
Yes.
They're cool and they're outside the box, and you're making it like, oh, well, what if this was a cartoon that existed?
It was a cartoon.
Was it?
It was a proposed cartoon. Like, okay. The opening credits.
It never came to light. It was just in.
And
in
I didn't know it till right after the line was announced that it was a proposed cartoon. Like, the introduction sequences on YouTube, which I thought was like, wow, this is actually.
See, cool. I thought it was just one of those, like, oh, we're going to pretend like
this. I thought actually. So too, because I just had never heard anything about it. So, yeah, I'm in the same boat, dude. But I like that they are doing it and really pushing, doing something different. Plus, you know, obviously, I think they've struck a goal with making figures that are in that He-Man size, you know, the 5-point articulation with the squat. You know, it's simple, but. You know, fans like us like that kind of stuff. I still want to get those DC Primal Age figures. I have yet to get any of them yet.
Well, they are. Well, are they still Amazon exclusive, or did that expire?
That might still be, because I know I saw the Batcave show up at a Target somewhere. Someone posted about that, I thought. But as far as I know, I think all the figures are strictly Amazon too. So I want to get a few of them at least to put on the shelf.
Right on. Well, let's go ahead and get this wrapped up. Tyler, yep. any final thoughts on Cops? Or Cops, Mask, Jesus. on the brain.
It's a good start, and I'm sure the show just only gets better, of course. And it's an excellent toy line, a great roster of characters, and warrants more attention, I think. So,
yeah, well, we'll keep watching them on the show. That way Tyler and I can eventually learn everybody.
Yeah. We want to be all-encompassing here, people. I mean, there's certain cartoons I don't think we will do, but, you know, Definitely ones that we are not as familiar with. Why not just jump in and try to learn and listen to the listeners?
Right. And speaking of our listeners, I want to say thank you again to Fedmon, Delvis, JSP, and Who That Whale that joined us live. And also hello to Who That Whale's son, Colston. I know that he was telling me that he was looking forward to checking out Mask, because I think that's one of the shows that they have watched a little bit together, if I'm not mistaken. So good on him. I'm going to bring that up. Good on him for like just showing your kids all this old stuff and raising them on this stuff. Good on you.
Yeah, we need to get like Coulson's feedback on like classic G.I. Joe episodes, Cops.
Who That Will, post a comment down below and let us know his thoughts.
Yeah. We always like to know what the younger generation thinks about this stuff. The honest opinions now. We want to be as, if they don't like it, so be it.
Yeah. You know, but let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
And any of you other listeners out there that catch this in the archive, leave a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts on Mask. Is this a show that you grew up with, or is it something that just kind of like Tyler and myself, something that we knew of but just fell under the radar? Oh, man. You ready? Are you ready to talk some Black Dynamite in about 45 minutes?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. I love that movie. I hadn't watched it in a couple years, and just rewatching it again, because I've seen it a good handful of times, five, six times, maybe a little bit more. To me, it gets better each time. Still laugh at the same stuff. But,
yeah, me too.
we'll get into that in about 45 minutes at 2 p.m. Eastern here. But thanks again to the live listeners, and if you're joining us on the archive or you're following us on Podbean or iTunes, come on over to the YouTube page, hit subscribe, ring the bell, so you get notified when we go live or when new videos get posted. Had to swallow my spit there for a second. Check out the other links down below. Buy Joe's t-shirts. Hit them up for a custom. Check out Fans of Power, the He-Man and the Master Universe podcast, hosted by Tyler Baker and Joe Amato. And until then, we'll see you in the future to talk about the past.